Blank Game Week 12 has finally arrived, so how many of Arsenal and City should we really be replacing? And is now the time to give the armband back to our old friend? Hello, the FPL Pod team back with you on a Monday. We're going to try to combine a mix of the off-the-bench reflective wisdom with our usual look ahead because Game Week 12 is, of course, in midweek. So I've rounded up the troops, FPL family's Sam Bonfield and broadcaster slash Harry Kane, Aaron Ramsdale and now seemingly West Ham fan, Julian Laurens is also here. Is there anyone else to add to that list, Jules?
So many more, but we don't have time really, so we should get going.
Sam, exciting times, isn't it? First midweek of the season.
Yeah, this is the one that we've kind of all been waiting for, isn't it? This is the week where you need a plan, you need a strategy. And if it goes well, you're going to have a great run until the World Cup. If it goes badly, you have got time to fix it for the 4 weeks that follow. I love a midweek set of fixtures.
So do I. I just get very scared about rotation. I've got to be honest. Some of my worst weeks always come in midweeks. Now, Jules, do you want to intro our guest today? Because, you know, you always say all of these players, everyone we talk about on this podcast is one of your mates. I think this guest might actually almost consider you as one of those, though his face suggests actually otherwise. Who is it, Jules?
He's one of my best friends. He's Steve Crossman, obviously the BBC Five Live presenter that I'm sure you've heard many, many times. Who, when Sam Bonfield just said, you know, midweek action, you need a plan, you should have seen his face. Like, his face was like, I don't have a plan. But that's why you're here, my friend. That's why you're here with us.
There are three words I've heard that I'm terrified of. I've heard plan, strategy, and wisdom. You do know you have seen my score this season, right?
Oh, come on, Steve. I've seen, myself and Jules have been in leagues with you the past couple of years. And we do know that you do know how to play FPL. And you've been playing it a little while, haven't you? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm playing it ironically. That's my tactic this season. How did I get into it? Oh, well, I mean, I've been a mad fantasy football fan since, like, you know, Jules will know this as well. You know, when Jules was at school, you can tell, popular kid. You know, he was probably on lunchtimes, Jules was always chasing girls, that kind of thing. Me.
They were chasing me.
That was an open goal, wasn't it? Yeah. I literally did the fantasy football at my secondary school. So once a week, I would go and get the newspaper and get all the scores and put it into my little database in one of the IT rooms.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't have a girlfriend till I was 20.
And you're trying to blame FPL for you not having a girlfriend until you're 20, yeah. Right?
I mean, listen, I've got to blame something.
Okay, well, you said there you've had a difficult season. You said, have we seen your score? I looked this week, mm-hmm. Not the best, but then no one had a particularly good week this week. How's it been going?
That's the excuse that I like to go for, is whenever I have a bad week, I'll say, listen, guys, look at the other factors. You know, nobody's doing particularly well at the moment. Where did it go wrong? I think it went wrong when I made three transfers costing myself 12 points at something like 1 a.m. Oh, I've done this before. I didn't realise that it's actually possible to look at when someone has made transfers. And then someone brought it to my attention last season that I'd made a series of transfers at 2:33 a.m. on New Year's Day. So,
this is dangerous.
I'm a kid in a sweet shop with fantasy football. Every week I'm like, I will not cost myself points. I will not cost myself points. And then I'm like, oh, honestly, one player I spent 4 points transferring in this week, transferred him on Monday. No word of a lie, Reece James. So that's the kind of... That's the level I'm operating at.
Steve, though, that was a wise transfer. And I'm going to say that because I took a -4 a couple of weeks to bring in Reece James and James Maddison and Wilfried Zaha. None of them have returned since. And of course, now James Maddison is going to be suspended for this game week. Reece James looks like he's going to be injured for the foreseeable. So Reece James coming in, not a bad transfer at all. So don't worry about that one. Anyway, before we dive into game week 12, because it's going to be a really tricky one with Arsenal and Manchester City blanking, Sam, let's just reflect on the game week that's just gone. What were the standout things that happened from your point of view?
I mean, for me, it was Mason Mount. We've been talking in the early part of this season about the 8 million. And, you know, we did our pre-season pods and we were like, the 8 million midfielders, they're going to be so important. And then they had a really slow start, didn't they? We didn't really see much out of them for the first few game weeks. Since then, we've had like bang, 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 constant returns to the 8 million. And now it's Mason Mount's turn. Since he scored that goal for England in the international break, he's come back. He's now had double-digit hauls in the last two matches. Back-to-back ones. And he's got 5 attacking returns since that England goal. Now, I'm starting to wonder whether we are getting the best out of Mason Mount again, whether under Potter, we're just starting to see him ticking over. And Game Week 11 was a great example of that. He's a player now that's firmly on my radar, ahead of wild cards and ahead of obviously the blank game week in midweek, where you just want players that are sort of guaranteed to start. The only attacking player for Chelsea that started every single game for Potter so far.
Still always scares me with Potter being in charge, that he's just going to throw a curveball at absolutely any point. But Anna said last week, didn't she, on the podcast, that Mason Mount was someone she was considering. Jules, I'm going to get this in nice and early. If we're going to talk about other highlights of the game week, what was your highlight of the game week? Because myself and Sam certainly know what it was.
Oh, there we go.
Go on then.
He's one of our Harry Kane, captain. I mean, I texted you two in our group on Friday morning. I swear this is true. I woke up on Friday morning early and I just dreamed of Harry Kane having a really good weekend and not hurling Haaland. And I think I have to captain him. This is it. I saw it in my dreams. I saw it. You know how I see things before? They don't always work. But this one, so I texted you two, and as you always know, my dilemma with captains all the time. And it burned me before, because there are times where I didn't captain Haaland when he had an amazing game, but this time it felt right to captain Harry Kane. So I was a bit shaky, I won't lie, before Saturday game against Everton for Spurs. And then because Kane did well, really well, 18 points when you have 9 and obviously 18 as captain, then I was far more relaxed watching the Liverpool City game, because as much as I didn't want Erling Haaland to score, I was like, okay, maybe, you know, at least we would draw and I would not lose out really if he scores one. But yeah, it was a sweet Sunday.
Okay, well, I guess I'm semi-glad you had a good Sunday, because I at least have Harry Kane in my team, so I did benefit from it in some way. The other big talking point from this weekend, Manchester City blanking, obviously, of course, because Erling Haaland blanked, hence Jules' excitement. But Mo Salah, Steve Crossman, you'll have been watching this one closely. Is he back, in inverted commas?
Well, I hope he's back, and I'll tell you for why. He's not been in my team for the entirety of the season, because I saw it coming. See, this is the difference between me and Jules, right? I actually think about football. What Jules does, Jules got a magic eight ball, all right? other predictive snooker pool ball predictors are available. And if it says outlook not so good, then he drops Haaland and captains Harry Kane. I just thought, start of this season, Darwin Nunez coming into the team, it is going to change how Liverpool play. And it has. So lo and behold, Nunez isn't in the team. You're back to having Firmino in the same team as Salah. And instead of seeing Salah, you know, touching chalk, as we would say on a Sunday league, too far out on the wing, he's a bit more inside. He's being more effective. And he is my captain for this game week. I've dropped the free hit. You've got to drop the free hit. Otherwise about five players. So I've gone from not having Salah in the team at all for the whole season to giving him the armband for this game week.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about captaincy in just a short while, but I think that maybe sets the tone in terms of how our opinion is changing of Mo Salah now. So we'll discuss that in a bit more detail very shortly. But one of the other things we do have to talk about from the game week just gone was, once again, last week we spent the whole podcast talking about injuries and players that were going to kind of let us down and not be available for game week 12. James Maddison. That yellow card, Sam.
Oh, Kelly.
You're shaking your head at me. That was what I was doing at the TV screen when that happened. A disappointing game overall for neutrals and the fact he didn't return. And then getting that yellow card means he misses game week 12. What do we do?
I don't think I've ever been so annoyed at a professional footballer ever. Honestly, watching that game, it's the 94th minute, James. Just get off the pitch without picking up a yellow card. We all needed you. I mean, this is the last thing we all needed, right? We needed James Maddison to be available for game week 12. We also needed Reece James. So suddenly we've got two players that most FPL managers, or a lot of FPL managers at least, own, going into a game week where we're not going to have Manchester City and Arsenal. Like, I can see why Steve's playing the free hit this week, because we've got so many problems. James Maddison's an interesting one, because obviously it's just the one week he's going to miss, the week we all needed him for. What do you do with him? Do you sell him? There are plenty of other good options that you can replace him with, but you maybe have to take a -4 to do that. Or do you try and move him to the bench, because the fixtures that follow are also quite nice for Leicester? You know, after he doesn't play Leeds in game week 12, he's got Wolves following that. So it's a tough one with Maddison. I think for me, I'm probably just going to transfer him straight back out again, because I haven't got time to have more passengers where I've got Man City and Arsenal not playing.
2 a.m. Sam, transfer him out at 2 a.m. that's the key. It doesn't matter what it costs you, get him out.
It's difficult, isn't it, as well, because we do have to bench Manchester City and Arsenal players, Jules. So that makes it even tougher, because do you then sell another Arsenal player? What do you do?
Well, I thought one of the ways was to keep your two free transfers and just play them well and for this weekend, for example. But because of Reece James' injury, I transferred him out, for example.
Yeah, me too.
Max Kilman came in and gave me 6 points. I was very happy with him. But that also meant I only have one free transfer for this midweek. And with the James Maddison suspension, now this really has messed things up for me, because I can only really then move out Gabriel Jesus or Erling Haaland and keep the other one on the bench, which is not really the strategy that I wanted to go for. So, and Maddison would also, you know, go on the bench if I just want to transfer out either Gabriel Jesus or Haaland. So it's a bit complicated. I might take some -4 because I played my free hit already, but Maddison's yellow card and suspension has made things, I think, harder for a lot of us.
Yeah, the fixtures then. He'll miss the game against Leeds, which was nice. Then it's Wolves, Manchester City, Everton and West Ham. So there's quite a nice run in there as well. And Steve, from what we've seen of James Maddison so far this season, if you do transfer him out, he's likely to come back in and get some points in those games.
I think it's the fact that you know he is going to play every single minute. You don't have to worry about him getting benched. You don't have to worry about him getting subbed on 65 minutes. You know he's going to be there. And also, he has become pretty much the only focal point in that whole team. I think even if you've got a team that's struggling, if they've basically got one or two players, and in Leicester's case now, it's Maddison and Daka, basically, those are the only two you would even consider having in a fantasy team, then they're always worth a go. I mean, I've never put him in my team. But the reason for that is I'm in a similar position to Gareth Southgate, I would say. Gareth and I, you know, we're on a wavelength. I've just got too many good midfielders. You know, my starting midfield this week, Maddison wouldn't have got in there even if he wasn't suspended. I know, obviously, he's a great free kick taker, but I kind of feel like even as good as he is, I still don't think he can continue scoring at the rate that he's been scoring at, for the sole reason that can't really see Leicester getting out of the rut that they're in. So I appreciate that he scored a lot of points, but he's not even under consideration for me, to be honest. And that dive, I mean, Sam, I love the fact it's the most annoyed you've ever been at a professional footballer. Must be lovely being a Liverpool fan. Try being a Middlesbrough fan. I'm annoyed every week.
Although, to be fair, the Liverpool behind me, that's not me. I'm a Spurs fan. I deal with a lot of nonsense from Spurs, although actually not so far this season. We're looking all right at the minute. But it's been one of the most frustrating 6 days, I think, because like Jules says, you know, we're going into game week 12 thinking that it's going to be okay. I'm going to be able to get 11 players out because Reece James is going to be there. I'm going to have a great team carefully planned. No. Reece James's injury means I have to make a change last weekend ahead of game week 11. Going into game week 12, then just the one free transfer, then James Maddison gets himself suspended, and I've still got my 3 City players and my 2 Arsenal players. So now I've got a lot of problems. It's not too bad because I can move Edison to the bench and play Danny Ward instead, but I've still got 5 players who aren't going to play this week.
Sam, you are going to have to potentially find a replacement for James Maddison. You said you're going to get rid of him. Who are the best options for managers that are in the market for one?
I mean, I think, you know, Steve's talking about Mo Salah. I think if you can afford to take James Maddison up to Mo Salah because you're selling some of your City or your Arsenal players, then he probably looks like a good punt to take ahead of this game week. He's also got a really nice fixture in game week 13 against Nottingham Forest as well. So could be really nice. But I do have some concerns about the injuries that Liverpool have down that left-hand side. You know, obviously they've lost Luis Diaz in the last couple of weeks. Now Jota looking to pick up an injury in that game as well. So will we see Mo Salah, as Steve likes to say, touching chalk again in game week 12? Or will we see him staying in the middle? Who knows? That's a little bit of a concern. I do really like the look of Leandro Trossard for this week. He's got Nottingham Forest in midweek. Probably the team that you do suspect are going to concede the most goals in game week 12. He's also the 5th highest scoring midfielder in the game right now and the 4th most threatening midfielder, according to the ICT index. So I think for me, Leandro Trossard would be the one if you've not got any budget and you need to come down. If you can find the money and you want to go up, then maybe it's Salah.
Jules, I'm just looking at your team. Actually, you've got a lot of the in-form mid-price midfielders already in your team in terms of having...
Don't tell him that.
Well, he's wild-carded, doesn't he? So that's the reason. And he's taken advice from you all season, Sam. He's got Leandro Trossard, of course, the Paquette, yeah. Paquetta from West Ham. If this is new listeners, I should probably explain that that's Jules' nickname for him. And Wilfried Zaha. So who are you looking to bring in for Maddison if you make that transfer?
That's where the dilemma is again, because I want Solanke up front to replace either Gabriel Jesus or Haaland. As we said, one would go on the bench and the other one would be swapped for Solanke. And then it's either I take a -4 to get Maddison out, and then I like the look of Mason Mount, I have to say. We talked about, and he might be rested in midweek. I wouldn't be surprised really if Potter rest him, although in that kind of form, and again, that's what we talked about Haaland before, You would not bench someone who is on such a roll and such a run that you just want him to keep playing, keep building that confidence, keep scoring or keep assisting. And then even if you just play for an hour, it's fine, because by then he might win you the game at Brentford. So I think Mount is really tempting in this Chelsea team that is still not, I think, playing great. And we saw that against Villa where they suffered at times, they struggled, and he scored. Let's not forget, Mount scored a goal on a huge mistake by Tyrone Mings, that I think even Crossman would have scored from there, that chance. And then it's a free kick.
No,
Crossman.
No, you're wrong.
And the free kick where I still think Emi Martinez looked well dodgy on that. So well done to Mount, and he's still providing much more than the goals anyway. But I think they will play better, and Mount will even get better than what we saw against Villa. That's what I wanted to go to. So yeah, Mount is a very, very tempting player. And I think the other interesting pick is Phil Billing at Bournemouth. Our boss Martin, who like me sees the future ahead of everybody else, was mentioning him to us last week, but he returned at the weekend. He's playing really well, and so are Bournemouth, who play Southampton at home, as we mentioned, for Solanke. So I think, again, less expensive player than a Mason Mount. So if you're on a lower budget, maybe, then I think he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Oh my goodness. Is there any player that Jules isn't picking?
I'm just giving tips to all the listeners. This is a big show.
Mate, that was War and Peace. I mean, come on.
That's why I'm here for the people. I'm here for the people.
Listen, the answer this week is Zaha. It's got to be Zaha. Wolves at home, Everton away, then Southampton at home. Easy. That's how it's done, Jules. Just a short story. Doesn't have to be the complete works of Shakespeare.
By the way, how lucky was the Paquette? How lucky was the Paquette on Sunday, Lucas Paqueta? I mean, he hit the woodwork. I think he had like 25 shots or something. His XG was 0.4. I mean, come on. How did he not return for me, the Paquette?
Because he realised that he doesn't actually want to be in your team. No, I'm joking. I'm sure a lot of people probably will be looking at Paqueta this week because of their good fixtures. Now, let's look a little bit more at those Arsenal and City players that we've just been discussing. What on earth do we do with them? Which ones are worth getting rid of? Which ones are worth holding? Because Sam, it will depend, won't it, on whether you are going to be wildcarding, whether you've still got that wildcard in your back pocket, because you're planning on wildcarding in game week 13. Is that correct? So you can get rid of these Arsenal and City players, but then you can bring them back in for when they next play.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I was interested to hear what Jules was saying before about not deciding who he was going to sell between Haaland and Jesus. Now, for me, that's an easy decision because Haaland has gone up so much over the course of this season that when you come to want to bring him back, you're obviously going to have to pay a lot more money for him. Whereas Gabriel Jesus at the moment is in exactly the same price as he started the season. So you can take him out and bring him back in again the week after without any issues or problems. Whereas with Haaland, you're going to have to find additional money because, of course, the money that you paid for him when you brought him in isn't necessarily what he's going to be worth you now. So I think you have to think really carefully about your Manchester City and your Arsenal assets. Now, this is the perfect opportunity for me as somebody who doesn't own Saka and really wants to own Saka after the blank in game week 12. This is the perfect opportunity to move around my investments and to look at how I invest in Manchester City and Arsenal. But the ones I've got the most value tied up in, Martinelli and Haaland, they'll be staying and going on my bench. The others, they can all come and go and we'll move them around.
Okay, come on then, Jules. If we're looking for defenders, the best replacements for Saliba and Cancelo, because it seems to me that these are going to be the ones that a lot of managers are going to be getting rid of. Are these the ones for you that are worth selling and not bringing back?
I mean, not bringing back, I'm not so sure, for example, for Saliba, when Arsenal have Southampton away and then Nottingham Forest at home before they play Chelsea for the next two fixtures. So I think if you are thinking about bringing Saliba back or Gabriel or whoever you have, even Ramsdale, then I think it's wise to do it. And then maybe you reassess before the Chelsea match. But then in terms of who could come in, I think Diogo Dalot, who had 9 points this weekend, was a really good chance. We mentioned him before. The only problem, of course, with United, or it might not be a problem, but they've got Spurs at home and then they go away to Chelsea in the next two fixtures, which are going to be difficult, even at Old Trafford against the Spurs team that defend really well. And he's always a threat on the counter, and you would expect that United would play into Spurs' hands really in midweek, because Old Trafford, they will give them the ball, and then you can just imagine what Kane and Son can do on the counter, especially now that Richarlison is out. You would expect Conte to go to a midfield five with Bissouma, who, by the way, was excellent when he came on and for me won that game for Spurs, especially how he resists to the press that you would think United are going to try to put on Spurs. So for me, the 3-5-2 that Spurs will play at Old Trafford will suit Kane and Son so well that you can easily see them winning. So I'm not sure about my Diogo Dalot not conceding any goals in that game, for example. But I still think he's a good shout going forward because United have been solid defensively and he's so good on the ball too.
One other thing that we do have to consider when deciding who to sell, Steve, is the value that we have tied up in players. You said before you're heavily invested in Arsenal and City. And was that a big reason for you of not wanting to get rid of them and choosing to play your free hit, because you wouldn't actually be able to afford to bring these players back in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, firstly, with the free hit, it obviously just gives me the opportunity to be massively smug. Like, listening to Sam and Jules, this is the best I've felt about myself in years. Yeah, I don't have to.
You're welcome.
Don't have to worry about any of this nonsense, do I? My City and Arsenal players will just reappear as if by magic. But yeah, I mean, I think the Arsenal thing is really interesting, because I wouldn't have any Arsenal defenders now anyway, because obviously with the three player maximum, you know, last game week, the one good decision I made was I spent 4 points bringing Saka in, because I was like, I cannot have Saka out of my team any longer. So I've got Saka and Martinelli and Jesus. So I can't possibly have another Arsenal player. And from the City perspective, I've got Cancelo, Foden and Haaland. So, you know, these are clearly big, big ticket players. But what it's making me think is, why have you guys played your free hits already? Like, this is why you have it ready to go, surely.
It's only Jules that's played his free hit, Steve. Just went mega early. Kelly and I are still holding ours. And I think the thing for me, oh, look, he wants to speak. Go on.
I was mourning the Queen. So I thought free hits, you know, I played the free hits because none of my players were playing that week anyway.
Fair enough. I think for me, I'm just holding it for a little bit later on in the season. I look at my team and I think I don't really want to use it. I can still get to 11 players out with a -4. Whereas I think later on in the season, when there's a double game week coming, I might just be able to take a 100 point gap lead over Jules at that point and, you know, really smash it towards the back end when he doesn't have one to use.
Also, is it not just fun to keep your free hit when there's double game weeks later in the season?
It's not about fun. This game is about how you play it when you can. Like, Crossman's playing his now and you don't tell him off. And you told me off since the day I played it, because apparently it was not the right time. I should wait for a double game week.
But I understand Steve's position in this week a little bit more, because I did consider it this week. And then I just thought, I know how gutted I'll be when those doubles do appear in the second half of the season.
But hold on, think about it this way, right? You've asked me to come on this podcast, right? If I hadn't played my free hit, I would be here talking to you about my four players that were playing this game week.
Well, that's the thing, I think, isn't it? You have to play it when it's right for your team. So for me, this week, it's not the right time for my team. However, you know, bringing our kids and their FPL decisions back in, my little one, he's playing his free hit this week because, like you, Steve, he's got three Man City, three Arsenal. He's also got Madison, who's suspended, and he's still got Nathan Patterson sitting on his bench, because that's a transfer we've never rectified because it's been okay. So he would be in the same boat as you, looking at his team going, I've got four players. Who am I going to play? So I think if you are in that position, then playing the free hit this week makes sense. If you can get yourself out of it or get to 10 players without a hit, or take a hit for a -4 and still get a decent team, then you probably want to hold it. It's very, very personal, I think, the free hit. And you just have to play it when suits your team.
I don't have a child, but if I let my border collie pick my team, I think he would be doing at least as... If he just got one of his muddy paws and banged it down on the keyboard, I think he would have beaten me in the last couple of weeks.
Sam, just quickly on that, how many do you think is the minimum number of players that people should go into this game week with? Because I'm going to have to take a minus four to only get 10 players out. I'm not far off where your boy Max is, because I've got Reece James out, James Maddison out, and then I've got five of City and Arsenal, but I can
play your free hit.
No, but I can sort myself out to get 10 players out, I think. And 10 for me feels like, I feel like a lot of other managers will maybe only have 10 players. Is that okay? Or should I be eating my words here and playing my free hit like Steve?
No, I think 10 is fine, Kelly. I honestly think that there's going to be a lot of managers that can get 10 players out, but they have to take out their Man City or their Arsenal players. And like Jules, maybe they've already played their wild card, so then getting them back in is going to be a points hit for the week after. There's all of these things to contend with. Now, for you, I think I'm right in saying you're going to play your wild card with me, aren't you, heading into game week 13. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to rip your team up and start again, because you're going to give yourself a leap going into game week 13, being able to pick all those players that are top of the fixture ticker, your pick of the City or pick of the Arsenal. So if you can take a minus four, get yourself 10 players, I think that's fine. Nine, I think at a push you're okay with if you've got the right nine. But I think if you've got 10, you certainly don't need to panic. There'll be a lot of managers in a lot of worse position than you.
I also just wanted to go back to the specific City and Arsenal players that you might want to keep or get rid of. We talked about Saliba and Cancelo. The attackers seem harder to get rid of, Jules, just because of that money tied up in them. Like, I can't even begin to think about getting rid of Erling Haaland because I know I'm going to want him back. So I then might not be able to afford him. So that feels foolish. Gabriel Martinelli, I think I want long term, and I've had him since the beginning as well. So do we have to keep those kind of attacking players?
Yeah, you have to, but you'll have to make a decision and a choice as well, because you won't be, I mean, if you've got Jesus, Haaland, Martinelli, Saka, for example, and Cancelo, then there's some that you can't, you play them and they obviously don't have a game, or you bench, or you get rid of to try to bring back. And I think, like Sam said earlier, try to let go the ones whose values hasn't gone up too much compared to others, because otherwise it's impossible and you will end up having to sacrifice another position and get someone cheaper that you don't maybe want in your team just to compensate for the extra cost of a Haaland or a Martinelli whose price have really, really gone up massively.
What about goalkeepers then? Because Aaron Ramsdale and Edison have been popular. In fact, someone on this very podcast owns Edison. Sam Bonfield has her hands over her face. Goalkeeper change feels bold to make for just 1 week. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, it does. Thankfully, I've got Danny Ward, who's held his place in Leicester team, so I can play him this week. But going forward, I don't want to own Edison. And that's no slight on Edison. I think he is a fantastic goalkeeper, as we saw from some of the saves that he made against Liverpool in game week 11. However, you look at that Manchester City team and those forward players, I want three of them. I want Haaland, but I also want to be making sure that I've got Foden in there, because he seems like an absolute no-brainer right now. KDB is an option. There are so many nice options at Manchester City, including Cancelo at the back. I know you don't like the number seven, Jules, but hey, he's still definitely a good option going into those last four games before the World Cup. So I'm looking at my City investment and thinking Edison is not the one that I want to go with. So then I'm going to be making a goalkeeper change. I'll probably do it on my wild card. So then you're kind of looking at the fixtures that follow from game week 12. If you don't have anybody to play in goal, I don't actually think that that's necessarily a big problem if you go without a goalkeeper in game week 12. But then from those weeks that follow, looking at 13 through 16, there are a couple of keepers that I'm looking at. So there's Gaeta at Crystal Palace, but I already own Anderson and I'm not sure about the double up there. There's Pickford at Everton, who the fixtures look nice for Pickford. And of course, playing for his position in the England team for the World Cup, because Nick Pope is doing his best to stake a claim on that position as well. And then there's Kepa at Chelsea, who suddenly, having come in for Mendy while he was injured, has proved himself to be a decent goalkeeper and is keeping Mendy out of the starting 11. So he looks like a nice option. And the Chelsea fixtures aren't looking too bad either from game week 13 onwards. So there are a few options there that I think could be wise, but I'm definitely looking to strip some money out of that goalkeeper slot in order to reinvest in the midfield positions, which I think are so valuable right now.
Okay, let's talk transfers then and what we are going to be doing this week. I think it's only right we kick this section off by running through the much teased Steve Crossman FPL free hit for game week 12. Run us through your team, Steve.
All right, so I'm a big fan of, even in a week like this, I'm a big fan of having two goalkeepers that you know will play every single week. And at the moment, until Brendan Rodgers changes his mind, that means that it is okay to have Ward, but he is on the bench. So my team is, I've got two at the back from Newcastle, the goalkeeper Nick Pope and Kieran Trippier. Home to Everton for them. I've got Joe Gomez in the team because he's nice and cheap. And after that performance against Manchester City, 4.5 million, I think that's a no-brainer. And then I've got my one who's saving me a bit of money, which is Lewis Dunk of Brighton. If you're going to have a Brighton defender in, then it's going to be home to Nottingham Forest. I think that's a good selection. I've got Trossard in midfield, who I've had for a long, long time. I've got Wilfried Zaha in the team, home against Wolves in this game. And as I said earlier, he's got favourable fixtures coming up. I agree with what you all said about Mason Mount earlier. Straight in the team for the free hit, Brentford away. I've got Salah as captain, Liverpool at home to West Ham. I feel like after that City performance, I would imagine Jurgen Klopp is not going to then go back to starting Nunez with Salah. I would like to think Firmino keeps his place. That's what I'm hoping for. Son and Kane away at Man United. And for the first time this season, Alexander Mitrovic, and he'll be delighted about this. He's been asking me every single week. He's been calling me. Why aren't I in your team? Look at my numbers. Well, Mitro, home to Aston Villa, you've made the cut.
Come on then, guys. Jules, Sam, give it your best shot of reviewing that team. Be kind, Jules. You can go first.
This is good, I have to say. This is maybe the best.
That's hurting him, yeah, Steve, to admit that. The best.
I mean, come on.
I think you should beat your best point tally of 27 so far this season with that team. I mean, if you don't, then just go, you know, go and take on knitting and stop fantasy football. But no, this is good, my friend. I like it a lot.
Sam, what do you think?
The only one I'm not really sure about there is the Liverpool defence. I think West Ham, you know, Jules, I'm surprised you didn't pick up on this with your love of Paqueta and...
It's his debut on the show.
I know. I mean, I think West Ham look like they've got goals in them. So I wonder whether the Liverpool defence is the best way to invest. I think if you're picking somebody for just like, you know, 1 week only, I'd be tempted to like double up on the Brighton defence against Nottingham Forest for this week with maybe Webster as well, or maybe have a look at somebody like Anderson at Crystal Palace for the game against Wolves, because they're just not scoring many goals. So I think they've got more potential for a clean sheet than the Liverpool boys do against Wolves. But I really like the rest of that team. I think there's some really nice picks in there. I might even be tempted, if I was free hitting, you know, to just take a cheeky punt on Carvalho at Liverpool. Just wonder whether, you know, with Luis Diaz and Jota both out on that side, whether he might get the nod to start. And if you've got a bench, which you're going to have with a free hit team that can cover it if he doesn't start, maybe he might be a really nice cheeky differential on a free hit.
I like that shout. Steve, any movement on your team, or are you standing by your boys?
I think you've always got to stand by your decision. I mean, I think everything Sam said there makes a lot of sense, but I think you can't allow anyone to undermine your authority. And as you can imagine, I'm already in the position where the board are considering my position. And that... The board consists of my wife, the dog, and me, and yet I still think I'm going to get outvoted. And my dog, ironically called Sam, can't speak. So I'm in peril. But one of the things about the bench is I've had to pick some absolute no names just so that I can afford what I think is a really strong first 11. I mean, I like to think I know quite a lot about football. Do I know anything about Manchester City player Wilson Esbrand? No, I don't. But he's on the bench because they don't have a game. They don't have a game, and he costs absolutely stuff all. So Wilson, that's double barrel, by the way. That's not his full name. I don't know his first name.
Josh.
If you're listening.
I think it might be Josh.
If you're listening, Josh Wilson Esbrand, JWE, as his friends call him. Apologies for not knowing much about your football career yet, but you don't cost very money, and you have allowed me to get the team that I want.
And that's also what's key, actually, on a free hit, isn't it, Sam? To remember that your whole squad doesn't play. So that's the beauty of it. You can put some slightly cheaper bench players on your bench for just 1 week to get those big price players in your starting 11.
You definitely can. Just be careful. It's a midweek round. There's always rotation. So do make sure that you have at least one player on your bench who can come on and get points if you need them.
I don't have that.
I feel like Steve is looking down at his team now from what I can see on his camera. So maybe, Steve, that might be something you want to consider.
I've got Nico Williams, Brighton away, and Jordan Archer, Villa striker, who I like a lot, actually, there at Fulham. And I feel like Villa fans think he should be getting more of a go than he is. But I can't see him starting in the Premier League at the minute.
With Aurier potentially injured, Nico Williams might not be too bad a shout, you know, as your first bench.
Not too bad is what I aspire to. So thank you.
Right, Sam and Jules, very quickly then. I feel like we've discussed and you've been debating these transfers with yourselves during this podcast. But what do you think you'll do, Jules?
Solanke in for Gabriel Jesus. For now, for sure. And then I think I put Maddison on the bench.
Okay. Sam?
Oh, this is where I have to admit that I've already done a transfer. I did it last night.
1 a.m. transfer? Yeah, Swift Cross.
Love it.
No. I didn't do it at 1 a.m. I did do it at 10:30. And Jules, I've done Solanke in for Gabriel Jesus.
Ah,
there you go.
You see? Great minds.
We're on the same
minds.
Track.
Exactly.
I think I am going to -4. I now have the money in the bank to do Maddison. Well, I can either go to Trossard or I have the money to go to Salah from Trossard. So maybe I might just take a little punt on bringing the Egyptian King back in for a -4 this week.
Wow. And that leads us on very nicely to Mo Salah, to captaincy. We haven't spoken about him in this part of the podcast for quite some weeks. Steve, you were very confident, you were very sure you are captaining the Egyptian King this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you could just tell. See, I think one of the things that's happened with Liverpool is I feel like Jurgen Klopp in the summer quite cleverly thought, you know, I've been here for a long time now, maybe with Mane going, we just have to tweak things a little bit so it's not the same as it's been for the last few years. Clever, but I don't think it's worked with Darwin Nunez. I think having Darwin Nunez in the team, you will never get the best out of Mo Salah. And I think that started to become clear. Given what he did against Rangers, and then given the goal that he got against Manchester City, I feel like it's very, very difficult for Jurgen Klopp to go back to how he was doing it before, at least in the short term. So if we're saying that Salah for this weekend is going to be like Salah last season and every other season at Liverpool, then I definitely think it's the right time to have him in your team. So yeah, Salah captain, doing it.
Sam, if you do it, if you bring him in, will you be giving him the armband?
Don't think so, no. I think I'm going to give it to Harry Kane.
But bear in mind, Sam is a Spurs fan, so that was a bit of a silly question from me, really.
Well, yes, but I do think, you know, Jules said earlier in this podcast about how Spurs, with the injury to Richarlison, with Kulusevski likely not available as well, that Spurs will go probably with the two up top in Kane and Son. And we know how potent those two can be when they're playing up top together. And we do know that they love a trip up to Old Trafford and they're in great form. This is the first time that Kane scored in 5 back-to-back Premier League matches. And, you know, he hasn't blanked now since game week 1. I think it's about time that I handed him the armband. And I cannot wait to be able to give the armband to somebody different other than Haaland, because I'm always giving it to Haaland through absolute fear of what happens if I don't. So this week I can be happy to hand the armband to Mr. Harry Kane.
Jules, are you going to go back to Harry Kane after he repaid the faith that you showed in him?
H delivered for me this weekend. So it's completely normal that he keeps the armband. You know, I'm very happy with his contribution.
See what, it's been nice, hasn't it, to have a proper captaincy chat while we're not talking
about Erling
Haaland.
Who are you going to captain, Kelly?
Well, I've got my team in a little bit of disarray. I haven't made my transfers yet.
Kelly,
I'm also a little bit worried because I've realised that Nico Williams is one of my players that I thought was going to be playing and he hasn't been starting, has he? So I joked about that free hit, but no, I'm not going to free hit. I'm going to stand
Kelly,
by. I've got to have conviction, haven't I?
Come on.
You know you want to. You know you want
anything
to.
Anything Jules tells me to do, I always do the exact opposite. So I'll definitely be sorting my team out. If I can get Mo Salah in, which I think I potentially can, I was going to do Jesus to Mitrovic, but if I do Jesus to Solanke, then it gives me a little bit more money. I can then, I think, do Maddison to Mo Salah, and then I'll have to take a -4 to do one of my defenders. But then I think that defender that will have to go is Cancelo, and then I'll lose the money in him, which admittedly isn't as much money as I've got in Haaland or similar. But yeah, that's the conundrum, and that's why
just
I've brought it up so many times about the money in players, because it's such a conundrum as to whether we're going to want those players back. When I wildcard, I don't want to price myself out of good players. So guys, the WhatsApp chat is going to be active over the next 24 hours because as you can tell, I'm always indecisive, but this is probably even by my own standards, like next level. So don't be muting that WhatsApp chat because I will be posting in there later. Steve, the best of luck with your free hit this week. Thank you so much for coming on.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'll be honest, I'm slightly disappointed we haven't got onto who's got the best fantasy team name, because...
Go on, what are you called?
Deportivo La Crosse Munya is unbeatable. It is.
That's the one you've had for many years, and every time I'm like, meh.
Yeah, if it's good though, why change it?
Well, exactly. I transferred over from FC Crossmanhagen 1985 a few years ago, and I've never gone back.
That is a nice... In fact, that's the best... no offence, guys, but I think that's the best team name on this podcast.
Yes. Oh, Jules will be... Jules is probably called like Julie Adler-Rod, sorry.
No, Sambi on Ice, of course, for Sambi La Conga, legend.
Yep.
Sam, remind listeners of your team name.
It's Best in Alderweireld, after Toby Alderweireld, my favourite Spurs player.
Bang average, Kelly.
Mine is terrible as well. Summer signings, just spelt the same as my surname.
Oh, yeah, that's,
oh, that's a better response than I expected. And on that positive note, I'm going to end this podcast right here. Steve, thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck with that free hit. Jules and Sam, as always, thank you for getting up on a Monday morning to be with us today. Same time again on Thursday, guys, yeah?
Yeah.
See you then.
Wicked. We will be back on Thursday with a look ahead to game week 13, when myself and Sam will both be wildcarding. So I'll basically be stealing all of Sam's ideas going into the deadline on Saturday. Enjoy the midweek action. Do not forget, your deadline is Tuesday the 18th of October at 6 p.m. UK time. So that's a little bit earlier than when we have a Friday night deadline, because the first games on Tuesday get underway at 7:30 p.m. So get those teams ready for 6 p.m. In the meantime, check out fantasy.premierleague.com for plenty of other hints and tips, and we'll be back on Thursday. Bye-bye.